Welcome to Man Talk, a ministry sponsored by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where we're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and to point men to their God-assigned roles. Now here's your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr.
What we're talking about was... Welcome, everyone, to Man Talk. We are glad that you are joining us today. I just have a question for you. Do you find yourself more apt to understand things in a small group, or are you apt to understand things in a larger context, in a larger audience? Well, today, we're going to be talking about tabletop discussions in that smaller group. And today with me, we have Pastor Ken Klein, lead pastor of Christ Wesleyan Church,
sir.
2400 North
South Holden Road.
South Holden Road in Greensboro.
Yes, sir.
So, Ken, it's been a while since we had you on the show.
It has been a while. Yep.
I know. So when we talk about these tabletop conversations, and, you know, we're going to be talking about it in two contexts. First one is the process on how to get people to that table
right.
to talk. Mm-hmm. And then on the show, next show, we're going to talk about how to keep them there,
right.
you know, talking to these tabletop conversations. Mm-hmm. So in your experience as lead pastor at Christ Wesleyan, you have found more now that people are more apt to be engaged in that smaller group.
That's right. It seems like these last few years, even pre-pandemic, mm-hmm. there was so much emphasis on what do we have to do with discipleship? What's not working? How do we make it better? How do we grow it? How do we get everyone engaged in that? And there was just a big push to find out the magic to discipleship in the church. I went mm-hmm. to discipleship conferences. Even on Man Talk, we had some conversations about how do we really get our guys engaged in regular learning and developing. And it just seemed like we were always looking. We were always trying conferences, camps, everything. And it just kind of stumbled into it. But I realized in doing one of my reports for my church this last year, I do my annual report. I had 10 local church board meetings. And I had so many staff meetings, and I had individual staff meetings, and then I had other. And in the other category, I had 129 meetings.
Wow.
That I had documented. And I thought back, what were all those meetings? And they were with people in the church, but they were also with fellow pastors, friends, and people that needed to talk, wanted to talk, welcome to talk. People in front of me, people behind me, people that were young, mentors, past mentors, and just, can we get together? Can we hang out? And in those conversations, I realized some of the deeper things that we were getting to that just kind of evolved in those conversations. Once we peeled away the layers of, how you doing? How's your family? To, are you okay? And some things, you know, begin to come from those conversations that really led to some great conversations, which led me to believe, is that something that would work with my own people? To get away from the pew and get away from the Sunday school classroom, the cinder block room, to actually, can we just go sit down somewhere and one-on-one, just have a conversation? And some amazing things started coming forth from these table conversations. And I realized I was getting deeper with people at those table conversations, whether it be a cup of coffee at a coffee shop, or a lunch, or just meeting up after work. More was being done, more was happening, more transformation was taking place at those tables than I really felt. Then I think my new slogan has been, more life changes happening today at the table than in the temple.
Mm, that's good.
And so I've just thought, I think, not that I found the magic formula of discipleship, but I found that that's my passion, is I just want to pursue the table, and I'm asking my congregants, the same thing. Would you be willing to engage in conversations with one another, with neighbors, with coworkers, with friends, with family members? Could you just invite them to the table for breakfast, for lunch, for coffee? Just get together. So that's where all this kind of stemmed from over the course of the last 2 years, probably.
Well, you know, and see, the thing about that, I mean, being a pastor myself, you know, I found also that when you talk to someone about the conversation of basically anything of what they're going through or some of the issues that they're having, you know, in today's time, it seems to me perhaps that the pandemic was driving a lot of what, you know, you started experiencing and then getting together and having those conversations with people. And I think it's those things that they saw on the outside. You know, I know I certainly experienced it as well.
Yes, sir.
Things on the outside that was media driven, you know, and what is truth, you know, versus what's not, you know, and then you have the social media platform. And so you have all these different things, you know, that folks are engaged in, and it's very difficult for them to see what it is that I actually need because I have to filter through so much, you know, of the noise.
That's right.
In order to get down to the heart of the matter. Yep. So as a process, how do you view bringing someone to that process apart from, you know, some outside experience that they may be engaged in?
I know it's not to over-spiritualize it, but a lot like Jesus, because I realize that many times in scripture it says while he was reclined at the table more than while he was preaching in the temple. And it was actually became a pretty natural thing to say, hey, man, you want to get together? Could we get together and just get caught up? You know, I miss you. I haven't seen you in a while. And it was a pretty easy process, the invite. And I realized too that, like you were saying with the post-pandemic stuff, that I think people were kind of longing for, I wish there was someone I could share some stuff with. Maybe they don't even realize that at first. But again, in those conversations, things were beginning to come to the surface that actually surprised me that they would share that with me. Friends that, wow, I didn't expect that. In my mind, I didn't really expect that from you. You just seem like everything's going so well. But the invite was pretty simple if it's somebody in the church. Any chance we could just get together and hang out for the purpose of hanging out? You know, I love sometimes to just sit down at a table and hear you. And I was shocked at the immediate, yeah, that would be great. I would love that. And found myself saying the same thing when a friend or a fellow pastor called and said, it's been a while. You want to, can we get together and get caught up? And my immediate feeling was, man, I would really like that. And I really need that because I was keeping a lot in as I was, you know, pushing through a lot of the aftermath of, of coming off that pandemic where we were a little more isolated, stayed inside a lot more, experienced a lot of things, not just my church, but 35,000 other church pastors and leaders experienced. It's different. We did lose 40% of the people. We did lose, you know, youth group, children's ministry, worship team, and a lot of these things like that that I was processing, like, what happened? And what do I need to do? Those were some of my own pastoral questions, but I didn't really know who to talk to about those things. So it was just neat to get caught up with guys and say, well, I'll tell you something we did. Or so a lot of it was just making the effort to pick up the phone or send the text and say, how busy are you? You got some time? And Roy has been a great example of that for me, because Roy is very relational, as we know. And he won't let too much time go by before he starts saying, hey, man, let's get together. You know, can you do lunch and stuff? And I value that. So it's intentional, though, more these days than it was before. Now I realize if that's going to be part of my new way, then...
Exactly.
When I take my little break that's coming up, my little sabbatical... I've asked my team to be very intentional to purposely invite at least three or four times a week to reach out to somebody they normally haven't had conversations with, and invite them to a time of just hanging out. Not let's resolve something. I got an issue. Tell them why you want to meet. You just want to meet and enjoy some time of fellowship.
You know, and a lot of those conversations and a lot of the exposure, you know, that people have had. Of course, we were, you know, in the middle of the, you know, presidential elections and stuff going on back then and all that. And so all these ideals, they just came creeping in.
Yes.
You know, because I think it's very difficult for folks to just separate this when you come through the doors of the House of Fellowship.
Absolutely.
When you walk through there, your mind and heart needs to be on Jesus. But they want to talk about who should I vote for?
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Why is this person saying this or why is this person saying this? And then with all of the things that were happening with the unrest that was going on across the nation and all these other things,
yeah.
People wanted answers. And I think that's right. When, you know, was an ideal time for people to just come and say, yes, I want to talk about these, but I don't want to talk about them a large
Sunday school class.
Right, or a large
group gathering.
Yeah. And the reason why I don't want to do that is because I don't want anybody just to say to me, you know, if you're swinging one way or another way with respect to a political party, then, you know, I don't want to be around you or, you know, I don't want to accept
you. Can cause even more division sometimes. Mm-hmm. And with regards to the worship service, it's still the hour of power. It's still, some people find significance in that. But I really feel like what you just said is a lot of people are saying, but I want to talk about some real life things. And as we get into, you know, our next segment, what are those things? You can bring the personal, spiritual, bring Jesus into the equation. But invite him to the table first to just have some general conversation.
Exactly. And if you don't bring him to the table, then I think there's no truth.
Yes.
You know, that's injected in the conversation, because without the word of God, you know, there is an absolute truth, you know, with respect to what we're saying. We know truth in the general sense.
Yes.
You know, general sense, truth is the sun comes up, it goes down.
Yeah.
You know, 1 + 1 = 2. But when you start talking about absolute truth, which most people don't really want to accept, and just because they don't believe it, doesn't necessarily mean that it's not true.
Yes.
And see, and that's what the Word of God, you know, tells us.
Yep.
Say, what if some don't believe? Would they make the Word of God of none effect? You know, let God be true, but every man a liar.
Yes.
So that, I think, puts the stamp on the fact that if anyone comes and they really want to understand a lot of things that's going around them, they have to start with the Word of God.
Yes.
They have to.
Yep.
You know.
Table is a great place to ease into that and to have those discussions. It's a safe place.
Mm-hmm. And so here, so when you talk about, when a person talks about a process, and, you know, process to me, you know, says, okay, you pick up the phone, you invite a person to lunch, you invite them, you know, to dinner, or, you know, you say, come on, let's catch up with this, that, or the other thing. And then they end up coming.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what they're coming with, obviously, until they start talking.
That's correct.
And, you know, once they start talking, then we can gauge where they are and then where God perhaps wants us to be.
That's right.
You know, so I think that process start with, as you stated, picking up the phone, you know, going out, having lunch. But deep within, if the person have a conviction, and Roy and I were talking about this last week, you know, you got to have a conviction. Conviction is good. Condemnation is not.
That's correct.
And if you're born again, then you're not condemned. But conviction keeps us on the right path. It keeps us in that straight and narrow. And so a lot of times, folks don't really want to hear the word sometimes, you know, because the word convicts. That's what it does.
Yeah.
So they come to the table, they sit down and talk. And then you say, well, you know, this is what the Word of God says. It's like, oh, no, here they go again. You know, talking about the Word of God, talking about the Bible. Well, without it, you know, we have nothing to stand on. I can't stand on how God bless you. I can rejoice with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't stand on what God took you through. what God has taken, you know, that church member through, or that mother through, or that choir director through. I can't stand on that.
Yes.
But what I can do is rejoice with you in that.
Mm-hmm.
I can come in line with prayer with you. And so that's part of that process, saying that when you're coming and when we sit down and we start talking about these things, then that gives me, as well as you,
mm-hmm.
the opportunity to just open up and pour out their heart.
That's right.
And you really know if a person is really open and wanting to seek an answer, you know, to this overarching question.
Yes.
You know?
I see it almost every time I have those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Without fail, we go into deeper things. You mentioned the word process mm-hmm. a few times. The process of shifting from the way I used to lead a church to where I am today has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that 1/3 of my working hours in a week is at the table now, and that's a lot.
It is.
That's a lot of getting up and going and coming, but that's where the significance seems to be really mm-hmm. happening, in those deeper conversations where it's safe, but it's okay. You know, once you take a few layers away, and I like the fact that we're going to have a few how-to questions, mm-hmm. you know, coming up in our next segment, mm-hmm. Because I think that's important too. What are some leads into allowing a person to feel safe with those deeper things? But I think we all have some questions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have all the answers, but it's great to have a healthy conversation with another person. And a lot of those conversations for me have been like, yeah, I see what you're saying. And that's interesting. I had a conversation 2 days ago, and I thought, I have never heard that before.
Mm.
I have never even looked at that angle before of church planning mm-hmm. type of thing. It was just a conversation with a friend of mine, and he asked me a question about some of the churches that we've planted, and have they sent anyone back? And I was like, I've never even thought about it before, never seen that angle of it before, but I'm learning from those conversations as much as I'm able to give some input and lead as well.
You know, and I think the biggest thing that a person must understand is the element of trust, especially when they're coming to a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we're put in that position for, as men, to carry Absolutely. God's word, but not only to carry God's word, but to also say within ourselves that this individual here, God has called them to be put in front of me at this point, at this time. And, you know, I have to be open to his spirit in order to mm-hmm. give them some counsel, some instruction, some direction, whatever it needs to be, because they're hungering for that.
Yes.
You know, and as feeders, and that's what a pastor is, a feeder, mm-hmm. feeder of the flock, that we have to, you know, understand within ourselves that that's what God wants us to do, and then be prepared. So, you know, it's just like over there, I think it's 1 Peter 3:15, where it talks about, you know, being open to everyone and being prepared to give an answer mm-hmm. to every man for the hope that lieth within you
yeah,
with fear and trembling. You got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason why you have to do it is because God has placed us mm-hmm. in that position to say, right here, Amen. Right now, it's on you.
Yes.
You know, just lean on me and I'll be, you know, speak through you and do whatever it takes
yes.
in order to get that individual that answer.
That's
and
right.
They're hungry.
They are.
You know.
And I am.
Mm-hmm.
I realize most of the time that I go out to the car to go home or go back to the church or wherever it is from that table conversation that I really enjoyed, it's most of the time I feel like I get in the car and go, wow. That's usually my first word. Wow, that was really mm-hmm. good. I mean, it's joy. I get a sense of joy that was a healthy conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Now, and through all of the process of getting that person to the table
mm-hmm.
and then having that understanding about what it means, you know, to get an answer, you know,
That's
you know,
right.
they're going to be open to the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. especially those individuals who have that desire.
Amen.
You know, to want to do that. So
seems like we all do.
Absolutely.
We do have that desire to be heard
mm-hmm.
or to have the conversations that we really feel like, you know, I wish we could have that. I think that's the wow factor that I just mentioned is I'm glad we had that talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he heard me. I'm glad he relates to what I'm feeling. And I'm glad I could help in some cases. I'm glad I feel like I was able to be a blessing. I feel like God used me to lift him up or lift that spirit up. So.
Yeah, and I think the process is easy.
Yeah, yeah. It is so much more than people think it is.
But keeping them there.
That's right.
And we're going to touch a little bit on that on our next show. But yeah, picking up the phone and say, hey, you know, let's go, let's do this, let's go fishing.
That's right.
You know, let's throw the frisbee around.
Table takes a lot of shapes.
It does.
Yeah,
it does. And I think finding that place where the person is and, you know, mm-hmm. where God wants to direct them to be is, I think, the difficult thing because, you know, there was a young man who God was blessing me to counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, he had his lawnmower. He was going around mowing the lawn. And then all of a sudden, you know, God just led me to have a conversation with him. And so at the time we were doing a series of men books, you know, mm-hmm. in the ministry. And I invited him and another young man to come and let's talk about the book.
To the table.
And he said, yes, I'm willing to do that.
Yes.
And the thing, he kept coming back. His friend only mm-hmm. came once.
Yeah.
See, so, and I think you're going to have that. And it's not for us to be discouraged. You know, the fact that I invited two guys, one hung in there, one, you know, everywhere Jesus went, he had the same issue. There were some who believed, there were some who didn't. There were some who called him son of God. There were some who said he was Beelzebub, you know? So, you know, we're always going to have that. We're not going to have that 100% everybody say amen, praise the Lord to whatever it is you got to say.
Yep. It's been interesting. I mentioned to you about the stats and the report that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I listed the number of salvations that I've been part of mm-hmm. this year. Only two of those salvations of nearly 100 this year with myself and my team were in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning.
Wow.
That's why I say more transformations taking place at the table than the temple.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw 101 outside the church.
Wow.
And one of them was at a picnic table behind the church on Hope Tuesday with a homeless woman sitting at that table. And asking her some questions that she allowed me in. And it was just interesting to me as I went back to the church after and I said, another table thing. Why does this table thing keep coming up? So that's why I've gotten so passionate about it. It seems to be out there in these one-on-one type of things. That doesn't mean anything's wrong. We're not doing anything. It's just that the church is changing. We've got to learn how to do it like they did it. In the early church, is so they continue meeting together in their homes daily, just once a week in the hour of power in the temple. We got to come back to that again.
And you know what you said there was really interesting too, because you know with the one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
and it's I had an instance with an individual, and I was talking to him about some things, and because the ministry is a men's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And if Satan can get the men, mm-hmm. then he'll break down the household.
Mm-hmm.
Because God have clearly established the position.
Yes.
You know, and he did not establish that man. Man, listen to me now. I know you're listening. Listen to me now. You are not a dictator in the home.
That's right.
But God have placed you there to be the head of the household. But you also have to understand that you have a head.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that said, if men venture out of the zone in which God had put them in with respect to their responsibilities, now they have a tendency to act on their own.
Yes.
You know, because what you're doing is you're leaving the covering. That's what the woman did.
Mm-hmm.
She left the covering of the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if we can do the same thing, we can leave our covering.
Mm-hmm.
take it away and say, God, you know, I got this thing, you know, just when I need you again, I'll just call on you.
Yes.
And that's the wrong attitude to take. And as a result, of course, the individual can expect themselves to encounter great difficulty.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're putting themselves in the place of God.
Yeah. My wife has a gift of discernment. I'm not sure that's been my greatest thing, but she tends to notice people in the church on Sunday, and I don't, because there's a lot of moving parts. We got to get through the day. But at the table, it's different. And that's where I do feel like I can look at one or two people while we're having these conversations and get a true feel and understanding, where I can't get that again. And I can't get that in the middle of a church service or a big activity or something going on in the church. That works for me as a man better if I'm at it in a conversation like you and I are having. I get a much better feel where you are and what you're thinking and feeling than I would if we were just passing each other on Sunday morning. Hey, Will, how you doing? It's good to see you. Everything good? Yeah, everything's great, Ken. Everything's perfect. And it's easy to put that facade on, but if we can get away and get to the table, are you okay? You know, we'll ask some of those questions in our next segment. How do we lead into that? But that's where men who typically aren't emotionally driven can get a better understanding and feel of the heart and the you know, how you really are on the inside. So,
you know, I've been motivated here. My daughter sent me a couple things from, you know, that was happening on the social media.
Yeah.
And these guys would go around and say, okay, there's like two or three or four or five things we want to talk about with respect to the Lord. So we can go into that too.
That's
on,
right.
on the second half.
Amen.
But as we're winding down right now, Pastor Ken, and, you know, I think our process is pretty much set. You get on the phone, you call someone over, you invite them to lunch, you invite them to dinner, you
text.
Get them there, text them, you know, or you go to the house and say, hey, you know, pick them up. So with that said, I think when we start getting into the second show, then we're going to be talking about some of those how-tos and how to keep the person at the table.
Yep.
And then some of those discussions and conversations that we'll be having with respect around Jesus.
Absolutely.
So as we wind it down, why don't you give us a word of prayer, sir, to all of our audience, and we'll wrap it up.
I'd love to. Father God, thank you for the afternoon and the evening here, hanging out with one of my best friends and somebody that I've come to love and know well. And Lord, I thank you for the day. I thank you for the opportunity to talk about what you've led me to, something that's just a great passion in my life. And that's helping. It's helping people where we are to get to a deeper place and to bring them to that love in you. And so we praise you for it. We thank you for it. I thank you for the opportunity to come together and learn more and grow more in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
As we conclude today's show, TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, are building a community of men to be servant leaders in their home, communities, churches, and work environment. Check us out at our website for upcoming events and regular scheduled meetings. Don't forget to send us an email for topics that you would like us to visit in the future. Thank you for joining us today on Man Talk. Visit us at TAWCMM.com.